It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Under a new government, Christopher Luxon has committed to getting rid of the offshore oil and gas exploration ban, which has been in place since 2018. This decision has caused widespread opposition and cries for a commitment towards clean energy. And the International Energy Agency has released a report condemning the plan, which they call nonsensical and foolish. Greenpeace Aotearoa has condemned Luxon's plan and has launched an open petition to the oil and gas industry, which has gained more than 8,000 signatures. I spoke to Greenpeace spokesperson Amanda Larson about the policy and its environmental and economic impacts. I started by asking Amanda to explain what this policy would look like and how scrapping the ban would come into place.
Yeah, so people might remember that back in 2018, the then Ardern government introduced a ban on offshore oil and gas exploration, and that was after a really long campaign by iwi and hapu and environmental organizations like Greenpeace pushing to kick out oil companies one by one. And so now Luxon and even ACT and New Zealand First also kind of had this in their pre-election pledges that they wanted to bring back offshore oil and gas exploration. And we know that there are more fossil fuels in the ground than we can afford to dig up because of climate change. We also know that offshore oil exploration at the depths that we're talking about in New Zealand is incredibly risky, and there's a risk of blowouts, of oil spills and so on. So yeah, we're really disappointed to see the new government pledging to take us backwards like this.
And what has the IEA's response been?
So the IEA is the International Energy Agency, and every year they produce a World Energy Outlook, which is the most authoritative source of analysis and projections about what's happening in the energy sector. And a report came out just last week which said clearly that fossil fuels are on their way out. So demand for oil, gas, and coal is likely to peak soon, so before the end of this decade, and that's being driven by a huge surge in demand for clean energy, in particular solar, electric cars, offshore wind, and heat pumps. So, you know, that report and that analysis of where the energy sector is going makes Luxon's plan to bring back more offshore oil and gas exploration wildly out of touch with what's happening in the energy sector more broadly. So some of the highlights from the IEA's report are that they predict that by the end of this decade, there will be 10 times as many electric cars on the road. They're forecasting that renewables will make up more than half of the world's electricity mix. But they're also saying that solar manufacturing capacity is higher than the demand for solar at the moment. So there's even more potential to ramp up solar. And yeah, that's something we as Greenpeace have been campaigning on here in Aotearoa, because as a country, we've really been behind the times when it comes to helping regular people and communities make their own power from the sun.
Is investing in oil and gas even a viable economic option at this point? And do we have any idea of how quickly we could see these resources depleting?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems totally out of kilter with where demand is going. Like, you know, people can see that climate change is happening around us. We saw Cyclone Gabriel, the Auckland floods, like all over the world we're seeing fires, floods, droughts, and everyone is becoming more aware of the impact that fossil fuels are having on the climate. So that's part of the reason that we're seeing this move away from fossil fuels. And when it comes to oil and gas exploration, you know, first of all, the new government would have to change the law. Then they would have to go through a process of issuing licenses for exploration. Then oil companies would have to bid for those licenses. Then they'd have to actually mobilize rigs to come out here and do the exploration. So that's, you know, many, many years. And by the time that anything would become sort of online in terms of production, like that peak that the IEA is talking about will have already been missed. So yeah, it just seems totally out of touch with where things are going.
Could you speak a little bit about Greenpeace's open letter to the oil and gas industry?
Yeah, we as soon as we could see what the shape of the new government was looking like, we went out with an open letter to the oil and gas industry to say, you know, even if the government here is saying that they're going to overturn that ban on offshore oil and gas exploration, there is a really strong movement here in Aotearoa that will resist any oil company that decides to come and look for oil and gas here. So we, you know, we faced a national government that was hell-bent on offshore oil and gas exploration before. And even though they were, you know, wooing overseas companies here with big conferences and, you know, sweeteners, a strong movement led by Iwi and Hapu and environmental organizations chased those oil companies out one by one. That was Petrobras, Anadarko, Shell, Chevron, Statoil, all of those companies came here and all of them left, not because of the government, but because of that kind of a movement of activists that chased them away. And so what we've said in our open letter is, you know, that's what the oil industry can expect to face if they come back, regardless of who the government is.
How relevant is all of this given the fact that there's the UN climate conference later this year in December?
It's really relevant. I mean, one of the main things on the table that I guess that the kind of civil society is pushing for from that conference is a phase out of fossil fuels, so a commitment to phase out fossil fuels. And, you know, New Zealand has previously been a champion in that space, having banned offshore oil and gas exploration in the past and being part of what's called the Beyond Oil and Gas Alliance. So it'll be really awkward for the New Zealand government to come back to that UN conference with a more regressive stance while civil society is pushing for that fossil fuel phase out.
You've mentioned the involvement of Iwi and Hapu in Greenpeace's campaigning. What would the future of clean energy in Aotearoa look like in a way that benefits our tangata whenua most?
Yeah, that's a great question, because one of the other things that we've seen National commit to during this election campaign is to fast-track renewable energy. Now, rolling out more renewables across Aotearoa is really important to replace the fossil fuels that we're using in transport and energy. But how you do renewables also really matters. And fast-tracking renewables, so sort of particularly if it's like wind and solar projects that are owned by overseas private companies, and just fast-tracking those projects without the consent or buy-in of local communities is a recipe for resistance. And I think it's really important that we follow the examples of other parts of the world where shared ownership of those resources has been prioritized. So ensuring that Māori and local communities are owners of that technology and are dictating where that technology should be located for, you know, for cultural reasons and also to benefit people rather than benefiting overseas investors. So we at Greenpeace have been pushing for a long time for support for household-owned solar and also community-owned energy, so funding for community-owned projects and shared ownership with tangata whenua or tangata whenua-led renewables projects are a really important part of that.
That was Amanda Larson, Greenpeace Aotearoa spokesperson, speaking to me about Christopher Luxon's plan to scrap the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration.